How's everybody doing on Thursday? Is Jesus Lord over Thursday? Thank you, sir. Amen. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, I've got a word that I want to give you tonight. I want to get your Bible out and take a good look at the Scripture and meditate on it and get your mind on the screens as well. I think we have the screens tonight, don't we? Yeah, it looks like we do. So we're going to start out with 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 20. While you're turning there, let me ask this, guys. The month of July, we're not doing Wednesday night, Thursday night services, okay? But I want to have men's nights on those Thursday nights in July with just the men and myself hanging out. And here's the theme, Fight Club. Have you ever seen the movie Fight Club? We're going to have Fight Club on Thursday nights. First rule of Fight Club is? There are no rules and you don't tell anybody about it, okay? So I'm excited about it. Doug and I were on the phone today. You got the material. And I'm telling you, God put this together. So I don't know, guys, if you're willing, but if you want to be challenged for 4 Thursday nights, you hang out with me, 7 o'clock Thursday night, I'll tell you where we're going to meet. It's a secret. You don't know where we're going to meet until you get the invitation, okay? So how many guys would say, I'll hang out with you on a Thursday night? All right, good, good. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 20. David went to Baal Perazim. Say that with me. David went to where? David went to a Baal Perazim. Baal Perazim was a location. He went there. That means he had to leave where he was to get to Baal Perazim. This is a prophetic word for us. We've got to leave where we are to get to the place of masters of breakthrough. There is a master of breakthrough that God has for you and me. And he defeated the enemy there. That was the Philistines. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. That was a location, geographical. It was natural. It was real. And God said, David, if you'll get to that place, you will see breakthrough. Now, breakthrough is a military term. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but breakthrough is literally used in military mindsets. And here's how it's defined. It's a military movement and advance all the way through, watch this, all the way through and beyond enemy lines. So when you experience a breakthrough, you not only meet the enemy at their line of defense, but you go through their line of defense and beyond. It's called a breakthrough. And that's what David experienced. I believe God has, for you and me, breakthroughs in every area of our life. That we don't have to be in a standoff with the enemy. That we can go beyond his line of defense. How many believe that tonight? Do you believe that? All right. Here's what it also it means. An act or an instance of removing or surpassing an obstruction or resistance. A stalemate previous. In other words, a breakthrough is to go to that which was resisting you and push it out of the way. Eliminate it totally. So I want you to begin thinking with me tonight, what are areas in your life that are resisting your advance? What are things that have been stalemated? Whatever that is, I'm going to believe God with you for a breakthrough. Now, here's what's important for us to get. The Scripture teaches about breakthrough, but it's a twofold aspect of breakthrough. Jesus gave us breakthrough in the Spirit. All right? How do we know that? Because he defeated and made an open show of all the enemies, right? He utterly defeated the devil at the cross. How many would say he went beyond the line of defense of the devil? Yeah, he defeated him there and went beyond there. He invaded the entire space. So it's a twofold breakthrough. Here's where we have a challenge. All right? Jesus accomplished a full breakthrough in the spirit realm, but we need to partner with him for a full breakthrough in the natural realm. Because what he accomplished in the spirit, he wants to see in the natural. And any place in our natural that is resistant to the spiritual breakthrough, it must be overcome. And God's given us the authority. We have the power to break through that. Now, Paul's declaration in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we are new creations in Christ. But that has vast implications. Understand, he says that if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new. One of the things I want you to grasp tonight is that if Jesus has won for us a spiritual breakthrough, He wants us to also have natural breakthroughs. So every area in my life must line up with the new creation that I have become in the Spirit. So I don't have to be bound by negative thinking anymore. That is a resistance to the breakthrough Jesus gave to have our minds renewed by the Word of God, right? He said, transform your mind, renew your mind by the transforming of your mind through the Word of God. And we know in Romans 12 that that's a potential for us. So if we have a stronghold in our mind, then we haven't initiated the breakthrough in the Spirit into the natural realm. And that natural resistance has no authority because Jesus has given us the ability to break through. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that we, our spirit, might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So put up the slide, the first one, if you will. We have to have confidence in the breakthrough. We have to have confidence in the breakthrough that Jesus accomplished that fully occurred in the Spirit because of His death. You and I have got to get up every morning and say, praise You, Jesus. You have fully won the breakthrough for my life in every realm because of Your death, Your burial, Your resurrection. You have broken through the line of defense of the enemy. Therefore, I will contend for the breakthrough throughout my day. And you have to get that attitude. You have to become a warrior. You cannot allow your circumstance to dictate to you and dumb down the vision of heaven's breakthrough. Now, this is going to probably rattle some feathers tonight, but that's okay. Ruffle some feathers, rattle some cages. But we either contending or we are contented. There's only two camps in the body of Christ. You're either contending or you have become content. Content with the way things are, or you are contending to bring spiritual breakthrough into your natural life. Jude 1:3 tells us, contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. So, we contend for breakthrough in the natural so that God's purpose will be fully released on the earth. God's purpose will not be fully released on the earth unless there is agreement. You and I have got to be in agreement with the spiritual breakthrough in order to bring natural breakthrough into our experience. So either we have confidence in what Jesus did so that we contend for it openly on the earth, or we lose confidence in what Jesus did and we become content with a dumbed down vision of heaven's breakthrough. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be part of a community of faith that contends. It's not content. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. I like the scripture the Lord gave me today in Acts 20, verse 24. Paul said, every city I go to, nothing but chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me. None of these things move me, because those things are irrelevant to heaven's breakthrough. And I'm not going to allow them to dictate to me my mood, my thought processes, or whether or not I can expect victory or defeat. Because it is written. And He said, I'm going to run this race with great joy. I'm not going to walk around depressed on Valium. I'm not going to go see my psychiatrist, psychologist, or get counseling and therapy to try to somehow make it and call on the name of Jesus as a Christian. Because I understand something. These things don't move me. I'll tell you what moves me is the finished work of Jesus Christ. His breakthrough in the heavens. Him openly showing the devil whose authority, ripping the keys out of his hand. All authority given to you and me. That moves me. It should move you. And look at somebody and say, it should move you. All right, you guys got to be moved, all right? So the breakthrough in the Spirit is seen by believers with eyes of faith. It's eyes of faith. Eyes of faith. I pray, God, open my eyes of faith every day. Open my eyes of faith. Let me see this thing the way You see this thing. And we all have momentary setbacks. We all have momentary times when we're carrying heavy loads and burdens and circumstances close in on us. And look, we're human. But we've got to begin to contend. That is a moment when you have become content. Content to allow things to develop and to rule your life. And that's not the authority. They're not. Circumstances have not been given all authority by Jesus. You and I have, based on His breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. Breakthrough. All right. The breakthrough in the natural can be seen by unbelievers with the natural eye. And this is how we testify of the reality of the gospel. It's not because you preach, you know, against sin or because you carry a Bible or you go to church. It's because they're witnessing in your life breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. They knew you as addicted. They knew you as depressed. They knew you as a failure. They knew you as a person given to all kinds of vice. Jesus comes into your life. You recognize His spiritual breakthrough. You initiate it in the natural. You overcome addiction. You overcome failure. You overcome depression. And suddenly they look at you and say, you have had a breakthrough. You have pushed back the enemy in your life, and God must be among you. That's exactly what the early church in Jerusalem experienced. They had one breakthrough after another to the point, listen to what the Bible says in Acts 5, verse 13. This is a great verse. We should ascribe to this. We should adhere to this. We should try to initiate this in our life. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. You know why? Because believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Now listen, they saw the people of God get breakthrough. They're like, wow, your God is alive. Wow, your God is powerful. Wow, your God is helping you overcome these things. You didn't have any money. Now you have money. Where'd that money come from? So I got breakthrough. I got breakthrough over poverty because His breakthrough became my breakthrough, because I wasn't content to live in poverty when He said, my God shall meet all of my needs according to His riches in glory. So I did everything I could. I contended with the faith. Now I have my needs met. And that's the kind of God I serve. You know, they held in such high esteem, the early disciples and the apostles, that they wouldn't even dare associate with them. They were so impressed. Here's what the rest of the scripture says. They were so impressed that they brought their sick out into the streets and laid them on beds. The disciples didn't say, bring your sick out so that when we walk by and our shadow will touch them, they'll be healed. They saw the breakthrough so relevant and evident in the lives of the early church. They said, man, if we can just get our sick out there when they walk by, I think the shadow of Peter passing by is going to heal them, because these people are breakthrough people. That's what draws the unbeliever, is the fact that you and I have victory in our lives. Amen. We're not defeated people. Come on. So you and I need to realize that God's given us His grace. But did you know there's always more grace to be had? God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. That's why you got to learn how to walk in humility, submit to authority. You need to learn how to prefer one another, honor one another. You and I need to rightly divide the body of Christ. We need to relate to one another in proper relationships so that we esteem each other's needs more important than our own. Why? Because God gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. So God offers greater measures of grace for those who humbly seek for it with all their hearts. We don't earn a greater measure of grace. That's not what I'm trying to say. But we position ourselves to experience greater grace. I know I need greater grace, because what I'm called to do, I have to be graced to do it. There are times when I have to do certain things, and in the natural, I'm thinking, I can't do that, God. I need Your grace on me. And when His grace comes on me, it enables me to do what He's commissioned me to do. It is the grace of God. Watch this in James 4, 6. He gives a greater grace to the humble. I've already said that. And into this grace in which we stand. Did you know you only stand in grace? What about this? With great power the apostles gave witness, and great grace was upon them. That's Acts 4, 33. I love this one in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2 and verse 18. Paul actually says this, Peter actually says this, that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. Watch, he says this, grace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. I can expect grace to be multiplied to me. How many know the gifts of the Spirit flow out of God's grace? Amen. How many know that victory and freedom flow out of God's grace? That's where it comes from. So we can have grace multiplied to us in verse 18, and he says we can grow in grace. Now, some confuse these two dimensions of breakthrough and are content with far less than what Jesus has made available. This is the revival culture today that we must create. We have to have a mindset. We need to start teaching our children at an early age that breakthrough is a double-edged sword. Breakthrough. Jesus got the breakthrough so you can initiate the breakthrough in your natural life. That we don't have to be bound by fear. We don't have to be bound by intimidation or the fear of man. We don't have to consider ourselves to be inadequate or inferior because Christ has redeemed us. So all of these things are happening that we want to give to our children so that they don't become content with the way things are in life. They are content with Jesus' breakthrough in the Spirit, regardless of the measure of the experience in the natural. You and I have to set our hearts on contending for the fullness that God has for you and me and ordained for our generation. We have to say, wait a minute. This is the situation. This is not right. This is not kingdom. Okay, what are you going to do about it? Well, I don't know. I'm going to write my congressman. Okay, write your congressman. What else are you going to do? I don't know. I'm going to pray. Okay, that's good. Prayers, you're on the right track now. Are you contending to bring breakthrough into that situation from where Jesus has already initiated in the Spirit? It's sort of like, I'm not letting go until this manifests. If Jesus said, by his stripes I am healed, then you know what? I'm not letting it go until I am restored to health. I'm going to hold on to that breakthrough because you and I can't keep dumbing down the vision of heaven. We have to set our heart to contend for the fullness of all that God has ordained for our generation, always seeking a double portion of what we're constantly or currently walking in. So I have to ask this question. Are you a contender tonight or are you the contented? Which are you? What category? Are you a contender or are you the contented? The contented people are the ones that will feed the poor over and over again. The contenders are the ones that will speak words of faith in a poor man's heart that will help him to understand that he has a covenant with God that he could have his needs met. In other words, it's teaching a man to fish rather than just feeding him a fish for the day. It's a contender mentality that says, this doesn't have to be this way, and I'm contending with it, and I'm confronting it, and I refuse to be contented by it. Social gospel has just contented with the lack of humanity. The social gospel is nothing more than just putting band-aids on the bruises. But a contending generation comes into those situations and says, God is able to change this by his power, by his glory. We do the work of the kingdom with diligence and gratitude while still contending for historic breakthrough. Church, I want historic breakthrough. You know, I'm not looking just for breakthrough. I want a historic breakthrough. I don't know about you, but you know what I'm looking for, like on a Thursday night or a Friday night meeting or a Sunday morning? I'm looking for historic breakthrough. I'm looking for not 25 people to be saved. We've seen 25. We've seen 50. We've even seen 100 people come to Christ in one of our services around these altars. That's awesome. You say, wow, that's historic. No, I want to see historic where it has never been seen before. I want to see 1,000 people saved. I want to see where on Thursday night when you come to church, you can't find your parking spot because it's already taken. I want to be a historic night when they're standing room only and they're up against the walls and people are crying out that they could be saved. I want to see that kind of breakthrough. I'm looking for historic moves of God where we raise up young missionaries out of this house that go to the nations and literally turn cities upside down. I'm not content with just mediocre outreach and maybe trying to get by. This whole mentality of trying to get by and trying to get to heaven. Look, either we're contending for the faith or we are not. So I want to ask the question tonight. Are you hungry for historic breakthrough? See, by God's grace, weak people come into greater power. They come into greater unity with God's heart. That's why let the weak say they are strong. Let the poor say he is rich. The Word of God declares biblical breakthrough theology needs to be inbred in every convert from the moment they're saved. You're now saved? I command you to have breakthrough theology. When you go home, you're not settling for the way life has been. You're not settling for three generations of this generational curse in your life. It stops here. Because I will have breakthrough over that alcoholism that's in my family. That dysfunction that's been in my family stops here. Because I have breakthrough theology. And it's absent by and large from the church today on the earth. There's pockets of it, but I'm telling you, Northeastern Ohio, we are content. We're not contending. And it's time that we've got to just pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and say, I'm going to contend for the faith. I want biblical breakthrough theology leading me into breakthrough vision and breakthrough lifestyle with breakthrough marriages and breakthrough finances and breakthrough outreaches and breakthrough missions. I'm going to pass out a few tracts. I want to see the whole entire city come under the conviction of the Lord. And it's happened in the past. This is not something that can't happen. It's already happened in our history. I'll get to that in a minute. Slide number three. You were called to be a part of a community that seeks full breakthrough of revival. That's who you're called to be. You're called to be a part of a community that seeks the full breakthrough of revival in every dimension and every area of our life. That's who we are. That we're the called out ones on the North Coast. That's what church is, ecclesia. We're the called out ones. We don't have a name. We don't have a denomination. We don't have affiliation. We're just the called out ones that live on the North Coast who are contending for breakthrough. Say, what church do you go to? I go to the Breakthrough Church. Amen. That's who I'm part of. I'm called out. So this, it's who we are. It's what we are. What we are. It's what we're called to do. I think of all the wonderful things that we do, and I love passing out clothes to the naked and feeding the hungry and all those things. But come on now. If somebody comes up for prayer and for 40 years, they come up for the same prayer. It's time you get breakthrough. You come every month for food. You've been coming every month for food for 5 years. When are you going to get breakthrough and go buy your own food? I'm just poor and, I'm disadvantaged and the system. No, you need breakthrough theology. But we're content. I mean, help a brother out, I understand. Help a sister out. But if we don't give them breakthrough theology, they'll keep coming back and drain your pockets. Sort of like when we go to Haiti, all the hands are out. Give me a dollar. Give me a dollar. Give me a shirt. Give me food. And man, they'll take it. But what about breakthrough theology to teach them how to bring revival to their culture? But it's hard to give them something that we haven't initiated ourselves. Therefore, we got to throw ourselves into being part of a dedicated praying community who contend together for full revival. I'm talking about a praying community. Who come in agreement. When ushers usher, they come in agreement. They say, in Jesus' name, we're not only going to receive offering and we're not only going to receive people into this place tonight, but we're going to see historic breakthrough theology. We're going to see the blind eyes open. We're going to hear deaf ears open. We're going to see people get saved. We're going to see addicted people be set free in the services today. In Jesus' name, amen. And they go, amen. Then, gosh, you got some crazy ushers. That's right, because they're breakthrough theology minded. And the same with the worship team, and same with the children's ministry, and same with the preacher, and same with the intercessors, and same with everybody's got this mentality that says we're not dumbing down Jesus. So So we have to say, you know, I'm in. I'm into this breakthrough theology. I'm in. Okay, I'm in. Are you in? Are you in? Look at somebody and say, I'm in. All right, I'm in. I'm into this breakthrough theology. What do I need to do now? Okay, we need to contend. Everybody say contend. Come on, shout it. Contend. So that means I need to contend in any area that's not lined up with heaven's breakthrough. I have to contend to bring it in to submission. Take every thought captive, every imagination under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And there's an opposing message. I'm going to tell you right now, you better get this, because it's persecution is rising, and it's not necessarily from outside, it's from the inside. There's this great divide. Contenders and contented. And the contented don't like it when the contenders make the contented uncomfortable. There's an opposing message calling the church to be comfortable, to be content with superficial, powerless Christianity. Superficial, powerless, that's the way it is, Christianity. You know, some people say, well, you know, They're in their 90s, so they're going to be a bit ornery. No, that's dumbing down breakthrough theology. If I'd been on this plane 90-some years and serving Jesus, I'd almost be like Jesus when I hit to my 90s. You ought to come into my presence and feel the anointing all over me. Not that I have shortness with you, and I'm grouchy, and I'm bitter, and I'm angry, and I want to hurt everybody I can, and cuss you out, and talk about you, and, well, you know, they're just in their 90s. No, that's exactly the powerless Christianity that lowers the expectation, but each day we ought to grow from glory to glory to glory. If you've been serving God for any length of time, I'm talking about like 6 months. If you've been 6 months into this thing, you ought to be walking in breakthrough theology. Uncomfortable. They get uncomfortable because it's superficial and it's powerless. And even though they have a name, that they operate in full power. And this is the thing. This is Revelation 3:3. Nobody likes to quote this verse, so I'll quote it tonight. Remember, therefore, how far you have, have you received and heard, how fast, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you'll not watch, I will come to you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Verse 1 and 2 says, you have a name that you are alive, but you're dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, for I've not found your works perfect before God. You have a name, verse 1 is in that text, but you're dead. I didn't say that. Jesus did. Doggone it. Nobody wants to preach on that verse. Who wants to get up in the morning and go, Sunday morning, praise the Lord, everybody. Guess what? Y'all dead. Nobody's going to quote that scripture. Jesus quoted it. He spoke it. He is that word. He rebuked the church. He said there's got to be breakthrough theology. There's got to be a contending in the services. Some have reduced their definition of revival so that it makes no demand on their life. That's the problem. We reduce the definition of revival so it makes no demands. It makes no pressure. Everybody's comfortable. You all right? Is it cool enough in here? Warm enough in here? Are you comfortable? I won't be long. You'll be out by 8 o'clock, I promise. If I keep you long, I do apologize. Please come back, because I don't want you to go to another church. What can I do to make you feel more? And we've got this whole society of a church that has forgotten breakthrough theology. And I'm not saying be hard on people. What I'm saying is that we cannot redefine what revival is. Revival, Charles Finney said basically it is repentance and it's conviction. Doggone it, where'd those terms go? Who preaches conviction and repentance? You won't have anybody left in your church today. They'll go find some other church where everybody's all right. Everybody's good. God loves you. There's no problems. It's not sin. It's just an issue. It's something that's a little blurb on the radar screen. God overlooks it. He loves you. Yeah, he does. But he died so you and I can overcome those things, church. Listen, God has given us the ability to have breakthrough in our life. If I came into this kingdom cussing, spitting, and kicking the dog, I mean, some time into it, I ought to quit abusing that animal. Jesus ought to change me enough where I don't cuss every time somebody cuts me off on the road. I ought to be able to get sanctified. Oh, there's a good term. Sanctified? What the heck is that? It's old school for sure. Don't dumb down the vision for a full breakthrough of revival. Do not be comforted by the religious rhetoric that claims you are now walking in the fullness of all that has been made available. Let me say that one more time. Don't be seduced by religious rhetoric that says this is it. And someday when we get to heaven, God will take care of that. You can abuse your wife, God understands. Someday He'll take care of that. Don't settle for religious rhetoric. Those ancients that went before us paid a price for this message. I think of the Puritans. I think about the Moravians. I think about early revivalists. I think about the first awakening and the second awakening. Oh my goodness, these people paid a price for our salvation message to be so prevalent today. We can't be comforted by this religious rhetoric. It's like an unusual measure of stupid. It's really what it is. We become just stupid. We come to church and you just want me to be stupid. That's what you want me to be. And I don't want to be stupid. I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to know Christ, Him crucified. Hallelujah. Because He lives, I can live also. God's power was manifested in unusual measures in the first and second great awakenings. Did you know that? I did a little research in church history. I'm not a church history buff, but I've taken church history. I have a Bachelor of Arts degree. Bachelor of whatever it is. I don't know, Bachelor or something. I have a Bachelor's degree. I've studied Masters. I don't have my Master's degree, but I studied Masters. I'm close. I have 2 honorary doctorates. You'd think I would be smart enough to know a little about church history. Did you know that people like Jonathan Edwards in 1730 brought revival because of a breakthrough theology in his mind that captivated him? And it changed America? It was only 15 years, 1730 to 1745, but literally revolutionized the entire nation and set it on a course that America would become a mission central for the world. I mean, it's amazing the grace of God that's upon this nation because of these early revivals and breakthrough theologies of some of our forefathers. Listen to this. They had such a powerful move of God. Crazy things were happening back in 1730 that people today are going, well, that can't be God. Well, let me tell you what happened in 1730. There was such fervent preaching that while the preaching was going on, people would cry out for salvation in the middle of the service. They would cry out, "Oh God, save me!" Right in the middle of the sermon. Unbelievable outcries. There was faintings. This is the historical record. People would come to the altar and they would faint. We call that going out under the power, I guess. Or a courtesy drop now. Make the preacher feel better. But they had faintings. This is 1730. 1730, there were people convulsing on the floor in the power of the Holy Spirit. In 1730, under the preaching of Jonathan Edwards, people were so overcome by the presence of God, they couldn't get up and go home. They laid on the floor all night. 1730, because of a breakthrough theology. There was such conviction upon all cities. Cities would be impacted. Greater attainments and understanding of grace. And they would preach. What happened is understanding of grace and intimacy of heaven was created. That was 1730. We're talking about now this present move and how we want heaven to invade earth. And we're going, oh, that sounds a little cultish to me. 1730! Characterized the move of Jonathan Edwards where there was intimacy established with heaven. That's in historical records. That's the first great awakening. I don't have time to get them all together. John Wesley and Charles Finney. Charles Finney, a Presbyterian preacher? Did you know he was Presbyterian? It said of Charles Finney, he had over 500,000 converts in his meetings. 80% of them, I don't know how they documented this, I just read the statistic. 80% of them never backslid out of his meetings. When they got converted, they got saved to a breakthrough theology, and 80% went on to serve God all their life. That happened between 1792 and 1875. It was called the Second Great Awakening. So much so that the presence of God on Charles Finney in Utica, New York, it's told, he walked into a cotton mill in Utica, New York, 3,000 employees, a huge factory. Think about that. Back at this time, that was massive. And when he walked into it, people would mock him and laugh at him and, oh, there's that crazy preacher. And it said of Charles Finney, he walked in, this one woman was so in his face, mocking and swearing at him, laughing at him. He turned to her and all he said was, "Woman, you need to be saved." When he finished saying those few words, conviction hit her. This is in historical records of this Second Great Awakening. She began to weep. She fell to her knees and cried out to God to save her. Upon that, other employees did the very same thing. Charles just stood there. The owner of the mill walks in to find out what's going on. And this is his statement. "We must be about God's business today, for it supersedes making cotton or making fabric. This is about religion. Shut the mill down." And from that point, 3,000 employees got saved. And all he said was, "Woman, you need to be saved." But the presence of God upon him, the presence upon people with a breakthrough theology mindset, are dangerous. You will literally invade space without ever having to say a word. The spirits know you. It even testified, Paul, we know. Peter, we know, but who are you? They know breakthrough theology-minded people. And they know those that aren't. And they'll play with you like a rag doll if you're not. The fullness of the Spirit will manifest in the end time church. I believe that. The last great revival is coming. And before Jesus returns, it's going to come for a church without spot and without wrinkle, without blemish, and without compromise. Spirit's raising up a victorious church. Not a limping church, not a band-aid church, not an ICU church, not a traction church, a victorious church. And the Spirit is raising up a church that walk in value, walk in power, walk in purity, walk in unity, walk in maturity, walk in the gifts, walk in the miraculous. It is normal. It is common because when they wake up in the morning, they contend for the faith. They're not satisfied to be content with the way things are. It brings you to a place of abandonment of your life. Sort of to say, you know what, if I get arrested, I get arrested. I'm not going to be politically correct. It doesn't matter to me. I don't know today if this will be my last day with my wife or with my children or my grandchildren, but I know this, I am contending for the faith. And wherever that brings me, that brings me. And that's what happens in Gulu as they go into Sudan and preach in 24 hours, are beheaded because they contend for the faith. They're not content to allow a Muslim stronghold in this nation. And so they invade it with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Incredible, unprecedented, unheard of. The Spirit is raising up this victorious church. And the Bible says in Ephesians 4:13, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. In Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she should be holy and without blemish. See, we are contending in prayer for what whole cities need to experience the glory of God. That's why we pray. That's why we call on the name of the Lord. We will not give Him rest until He make the rain of praise on the earth. We'll be like Luke 18, the unjust judge. There is injustice in this city. And God, until justice comes, we will not let you rest. Those are contenders. I just bid you to become a contender. However that is. I mean, we're not all going to follow a little template. We're all going to be cookie cutter contenders. You're a contender however God made you to be a contender. Maybe it's why you wash the dishes and you're praying in the Holy Spirit and you're putting away children's toys. And maybe it's when you're going to work and you're at your desk and you take a bathroom break and you get in the stall and you contend for the faith. And you come back out and you go to work. Whatever it is that God's called you to do, but we must pray for whole cities to experience the manifest glory of God. Hundreds of thousands to be saved and for people to walk in the fear of God and be obedient for the love of Jesus. I know this is radical. I know there's only a few of us here tonight. But you know what? We don't need many. Because I believe that God's raising up a breakthrough theologically minded church who together experience an unusual measure of His power on a regular basis. It's not once in a while. We don't just say, oh my gosh, let me tell you what happened. So-and-so got healed. You say, you got to be kidding me. He got healed? Oh wow, that's awesome. We go and say, so-and-so got healed the other day. And we say, to God be the glory, and as it should be. Amen. Now who's next? What's next? It's expectant. It's like turning the page of a book to continue the story. We don't stop. It's not the end of the story. It's just one page. It's an amazing journey. And supernatural things are happening. I shared with Cynthia a story of a woman in the East who God was speaking to her about His presence, and she was in worship and she was so sick she couldn't get out of bed. And God said, roll over. He said, roll over? Yeah, roll over. Roll out of your sickness and roll into your healing. God, that is ridiculous. But nevertheless, at Thy word, I will be obedient. And she rolled. And as she rolled out, over, she rolled out of sickness and into healing and got out of bed and got dressed. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. You say, well, that's weird, man, that's awesome. No, that's just Jesus every day. It's what we ought to come to expect. So it's a people together experiencing an unusual measure of His power on a regular basis. A church where the Spirit establishes the first commandment in the first place. You know, the thing that I don't like, I love social media, but I don't like the like button. Because we like Jesus when we should love Him. We like Him like we like ice cream. Like, oh, that was good. Like, how many likes did you get? Well, I got 20 likes. Woo, like. And we come to church and we're just like, that, I like that sermon. I like that song. I like what they're doing. I don't like it. I'm not gonna like that because I'm not sure I'm supporting that. And you know, it's a church where we say, first commandment, to love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, soul, your might, and your strength. And your second command is the first, as your neighbor, as yourself. And love is the power of God. That's where it's going to be established. A church theologically breakthrough-minded where every believer operates in the gifts of the Spirit. Every believer. Say every believer. Not just the super spiritual people. I resist that kind of teaching. Where it's the evangelist, the healing person, everybody operates in the gifts of the Spirit. Children, teenagers, adults, doesn't matter. And we should expect that. It's a community that everybody operates in the gifts of the Spirit. It's a theologically breakthrough-minded people where whole churches walk out kingdom community. I prefer you. I honor you. I would never talk evil of you. I would never second guess your motives. There's no way, because I am kingdom connected to you. This is a community of kingdom. How dare those thoughts even enter into our relationships? See how foreign this is? I know this is like radically stupid, isn't it? Watch. Theologically breakthrough minded, where missionaries are thrust into nations. where the glory and the fame of Jesus is seen and established. Let me ask this question. How many missionaries have we launched out of this church? Now think hard. I'm talking about like not just 2 weeks in Haiti. I'm talking about like 20 years in Zanzibar. We need to think in terms of launching from the time a child is born in this house and we dedicate these children to the Lord, that they would have breakthrough mentality, that they would contend for the faith. Whatever vocation God gives them, that's fine. They're a missionary there, but there are some who are set apart to go preach the gospel in Gulu or Sudan or in Haiti or someplace in Argentina or somewhere else on the remotest parts of the nation. That is the Great Commission. Sunday, we're going to be blessed to have a young girl here to give 10-minute testimony. She's been on the mission field now almost 9 years, 8, 9 years. Natalie Neubauer, she grew up in the house. She was a little girl. She used to play in our basement. Remember, Natalie? She's going to stand here and talk about her missions outreach in Australia and New Zealand and where else did she go? Borneo and you name it, she's been there. May God give us more like her. Give us more like her that are being commissioned and sent and equipped from a house of breakthrough. From a house of breakthrough. Where every young person aspires to take this breakthrough theology into the remotest parts of the earth. To take it into corporate America. To take it into politics. This breakthrough mentality to take it into business and to every realm of society. Into music and just take it into to the places where the devil has ruled and reigned, and not be content to give up. I'm not giving up on America. I'm not giving up on Lorraine. I'm not giving up on the cities and the region. I'm not giving up on you. I'm not giving up on any person. And I've told this to people as they leave the church and they go off, and for whatever reason, I said, listen, distance and disagreement will never change the fact that we're friends, and that's a covenant word. I will be here when you need me. Not because if somebody dissed you, now you have a license to diss them back. Wrong. That's not breakthrough theology. It's churchianity. It's natural. It's earthly. It's demonic. We've got to shake ourselves. We've got to contend for the faith and say, no, we're going to initiate this breakthrough theology because Jesus paid a price. He paid an awful price to establish breakthrough in the heavens. And tonight I stand in His grace because of it. Jesus has given me salvation because of His breakthrough. So I pray tonight. I speak over every person's life. I speak over your life tonight, breakthrough mentality. I pray tonight, God, that You would cause us to shift from contented to contenders. I pray tonight, God, that church on the North Coast, even those that are on here, Lord, I don't know where they are. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know why they're here. It doesn't matter. You know where they are, God. You know where they are. I pray, speak. Make them uncomfortable. Make them discontented. Make them uncomfortable. God, like the mother eagle begins to break up the nest. Break up the nest. Break up the comforts. And cause us, oh God, to soar. Cause us, oh God, to fly. Cause us, oh God, to go to another dimension, another realm. That we would take this gospel to the far-reaching corners of this earth. We can go to one that's bound on drugs and say, you can be free. We can go to someone who's wondering about their future when the doctor gives them no hope and no help, and we can say, I know a God. I know a God who bore upon His back 39 stripes. His flesh hung around His waist like ribbons, exposing His rib cage, blood dripping into the ground for your healing. I'll believe with you. I'll believe with you. Let's call on God. I'll believe with you. People that can go to those that are captivated by demonic spirits, who are full of lust and full of depression and full of murderous thoughts and suicide, and break through that line of defense of the devil. Breakthrough. Breakthrough. Not learn to live with it, but learn to confront it. Say, not on my watch. Because Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. So, Father, I just pray that over every person tonight. I ask that You touch us and change us in Jesus' name. your head's bowed tonight, you're here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm trusting that everybody here tonight is born again. But if you're not, by chance, not born again, and if you were to die today, you don't know whether you'd go to heaven or hell or what would happen to you, or you'd come back as a cow. You're so confused, you have no idea about eternity. I'm telling you today, Jesus Christ has come to redeem you and save you. If you put your faith and trust in Him, you can go to heaven. You can be a kingdom-minded person. If that's you tonight, say, Pastor, I need that prayer. Just pray for me. Pray for me, because I need that prayer in Jesus' name. All right? Everybody's born again. Stand with me. Those of you that need prayer, I want to get some altar ministers up here. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Come on. They shall speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. There are people here that are going to believe with you for whatever your need is. Maybe tonight you just need somebody to agree with you to say, I need to become a contender. I've been content. Shake me, Jesus. Shake me. Or I need help with my family, or I need help in my finances, or I need a breakthrough with my mother or my father. I don't know what it is, but I believe Jesus can do it for you, don't you? So I want you to come for prayer right now. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. Sunday, oh, we're going to faith camp. God gave me a word. He said, summer faith camp at CNC, June, July, and August. I'm going to be teaching on faith. By the time you finish summer, you're going to be faith giants. I'm telling you right now, we're all going to another level of faith. So invite somebody to faith camps. There's not going to be any canoeing, no swimming, no tree climbing, no rock climbing. It's all about faith. Okay, Faith Camp 2014. Invite somebody to be a part this Sunday. God bless you. We love you and appreciate your presence tonight. Come for prayer. Come for prayer. God bless you. You're dismissed.